Welcome back to An Acquired Taste. Today I want to talk to you about how founders are killing their startups with bad hires. Specifically, I'm going to talk about five founders' decisions around people that can kill their startup. So number one, they hire too many people and they hire them too quickly. You just don't need that many people for a real period of time when you're first getting started. You can find fractional help, you can find contract resources, and even interns if you really need them. But we see people do this, they get funding, the check hits the bank account, and all of a sudden they start hiring all these people. And the fact is, there's tremendous value in the founder not just calling themselves the CEO, but acting as the head of sales, as the head of product, as the head of customer success, and every other kind of fancy term we like to throw on startup, you know, roles and jobs. But the fastest way to find out if you have product market fit or you're working toward product market fit is to make sure that all available data, internal and external, is gathered together for strategic and tactical decision making. And what's a better way of doing that if most of the major job responsibilities and tasks fall with the CEO? Now, I know what you're thinking. You can't scale that way. I agree. We're not talking about scale. We're talking about really focusing in and understanding as the founder, as the founding team, all of these job functions and doing these job functions so that when it does become the time and the logical outcome to hire folks, that you're ready to do it and you're doing it from a more informed position. So again, if you're the CEO, if you're the founding team, you should be doing most of the major job functions. You don't need to hire for that. Not right away. And that's a huge cash burn. And that's really what we're talking about here. The second issue, number two, they hire too senior. And the first few hires, in their first few hires, kind of believing that expertise will accelerate their development. Let's break down the problems here. Number one, senior folks have most recently been in strategic or management roles. You need people who will do things, not think about things, not talk about things, not design things, but do things. And I mean basic things. Strategic thinkers that aren't doing things are of zero value to you when you first get started. They're also really expensive, and they don't represent meaningful value to the company until much later on. They may be phenomenal human beings. They may be best in class at what they do, but you're not ready to utilize that skill set. So it's really not as valuable to you as you might think. They also don't want to do things they did early in their careers. We see this a lot in sales. I'm going to use this example. So if you hire a CMO, or even a head of sales or a VP of sales, and that's your first sales hire, they don't want to make cold calls to potential customers 30 or 40 times a day. And that's probably what you actually need. You don't need a manager of people. You need people doing things, not managing people or managing processes. At the earliest stages, you need individual contributors. If you paid for managerial experience or senior people that only work well as part of a team, I doubt they make it more than a few months. So you've spent a lot of money, you've spun your wheels, and 3 months from now, you'll be right back where you started. Number three, founders hire what I call, quote unquote, security blankets, or people that they like to be around, or who acts more like a friend or a confidant than a senior leader of the team. So they're often underqualified or underworked or both. I've watched this happen more times than I care to admit. And it is absolutely a drain on your organization as well as your bank account. Number four, founders hired based on someone's resume. It's great to hire that former Google employee, that engineer, that Meta product designer, The problem is, once they find out there's no free on-site daycare or dry cleaning, and that you're running your startup off of pirated copies of Microsoft Office and Canva, you're going to find out they aren't prepared for your particular brand of business. It's not going to be a fit. You want to hire based on past behaviors, not experience. At some point in time, I'm going to do an episode based on or talking about behavioral interviewing. Today is not that day because it's a bigger subject and probably deserves its own kind of deep dive. We're not going to do that today. The problem with hiring on experience over behaviors is just using the Google example or the Meta example that the hypothetical that I just talked about, you needed in that circumstance to hire someone who demonstrates an ability to adapt and be resourceful. Two things that are probably weren't required of them on a daily basis at a company that caters, like Google, like Meta, to every productivity need of its employees. So there's a reason why there's on-site dry cleaning. There's a reason why there's daycare on the campus. It's to improve the productivity of their employees. They can get there earlier. They can stay there later. They don't have to run errands in the middle of the day. Maybe they work through lunch. That's what that's for. That doesn't fit your startup. You're probably emptying your own trash cans. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're hiring somebody coming from an environment where they didn't even have to think about where their next meal was coming from because it might be delivered to their desk, you're going to have a fit issue between that employee or that hire and your organization. And number five, founders hired too quickly and or held people too long. It's an old saying, but I think it's accurate, which is you want to hire slow and fire fast. But those are two things that founders aren't usually good at doing because it's frustrating, because you have a million things to do. And the last thing you want to do is sit through another dozen interviews for an account executive in your sales department or a SDR or a product designer. You have other things to do. So you're going to get to good enough on a hire more often than you probably should. And then the flip side of it is a lot of founders are also not just first-time founders, but they're first-time managers, which means the prospect of firing someone scares them to death. And make no mistake, when you're firing somebody, you are effectively changing their life in a mostly negative way, perhaps. And I'll get back to that in a second. So it isn't to be taken lightly. But when that happens to first-time managers, more often than not, they'll avoid it. That person will stay on payroll. That person will continue to underperform. That person will probably start to even hate their own job, despite getting paid or despite having benefits or both. At the end of the day, you have to let someone go. And I want you to think about it from the standpoint of, or I encourage you to think about it from the standpoint of, you may actually be doing them a favor. If somebody is underperforming, they're probably going to continue to underperform. And human nature is that if somebody who is built to perform or is built to execute or is built to be successful remains unsuccessful, it's going to wear on them as much as it's going to wear on you. But they're in the same position that you are. They need the paycheck. You don't want to deprive them of the paycheck. But at some point in time, if you don't let them go, you're also not letting them find their next opportunity where they might be successful and they might enjoy it anymore and they might find a better fit. So that's on you. So you have a responsibility not to hold on to people, but even more specifically, force them to go find the next thing that can be successful. So those are five things. If you like the content, please subscribe to the channel. Like, comment below. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much for tuning in.